board, I don't know what timeframe, they generally have a public comment period too that's open to everybody and so forth. But you're identifying something really important, and that is, and the working group, and I'm sure I'll see nodding heads for those that were involved in the working group, throughout the completion of our work this year, we just see over and over again connections to where we're going and kind of reinforcing the direction that we ended up at. So I absolutely think there's lots of application. You also know that there's a cross-community working group going on right now developing principles and guidelines. Come on up here, Jay Scott, please. I think there's a seat to on the other side of the table here. There's a cross-community working group, and there's a session this week on it, on developing guidelines for cross-community working groups. So all of these things gel together, and certainly there would be no reason why some of the principles here, if they're applicable, using them even before they're approved, if the working group supported that, would be great. Thanks for the question. Sure, you don't want your own place over there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll continue.
By the way, they don't always take dollars, so make sure you have pesos. That's the reason. That's why I'm here now.
Thanks, Jay Scott. And for those that didn't figure it out, Jay Scott is the one I referred to earlier as co-chair of this working group. So I'll let him jump in and make some comments here and maybe take over. I'll let him think about that. If he wants to just pick up in the presentation, I'd be more than happy for him to do it. It's been... I've been in a lot of working groups over the years, and I've chaired a few, but I really like being able to co-chair. The flexibility that creates, the ability to bounce ideas off of a co-chair, and in our case, two vice chairs as well, is really beneficial, I found. So.
And it allows, you know, as you manage this, it also allows with busy travel schedules, the work of the committee to continue when people take vacations or there are other work obligations they have that are outside of the ICANN sphere that allows you to continue to push the work forward. Yeah. And I mean, I think Chuck found that out because as my duty as president of INTA, I sort of dropped out of the picture for the last 6 weeks or so because I was so busy with INTA stuff. But because Chuck was there, we were able to continue to get work done and make sure we stayed on schedule to get this out for this meeting.
Thanks.
So thanks both. Chuck, just to highlight with you, that queue is there and is visible to you, so I'll leave it to your discretion as to when you come.
Okay, let's go ahead. As long as you're okay with me doing it that way, Jonathan, let's go to Volker.
Thank you, Chuck. Volker Greimann speaking for the record. Just two clarifications. You said when presenting this process that it would mainly be used when the board is asking the GNSO for advice. Would it also be used when there's no such request for advice, as in the GNSO feels like it needs to provide a certain point of advice to the board? And the second part question is, when the board has a certain majority to reject this advice, is there also a requirement on the majority needed in the GNSO council to provide that advice?
The first answer is yes. This is not. It's just an example if the board requested advice. The GNSO Council could at any time decide to use this process for an issue that they felt warranted there, as long as it's not something that requires policy development. We have a PDP for that, and the third process that we're going to recommend relates to that. We'll come back to that. Did you want to add anything there?
You know, I think, as Chuck probably laid out in the introductory slides, a lot of our work took looking at things the GNSO had done historically over probably the last 5 years to deal with issues, and we categorized those into three major groups. But if you see application for this, I think the first two processes are much more fluid than the third process, because the third process is tied to the PDP, and we want to keep that tied to the PDP because that is a process that requires policy development, that requires the registered parties to the contracted parties to adhere to the policy, which is far different than providing input and or advice, which is sort of, I think, the way we broke them down, to the board or to any other group. It's a way to formalize developing a position that all parties feel like they understand what their role in participation is. They understand how that was developed so that when there's a final output from the GNSO, everyone understands that it went through some sort of process that people understood how they could plug into that. Whereas I think before some of the ad hoc things, there were some different ways they were done. Some people felt more comfortable with, some people didn't feel more comfortable with, and so it was sort of trying to just have some way that people understood how they could fit into the process, that they could look at a document and understand how it works and what the flow of that is, so there would be a little bit more certainty with the output, the eventual output. But there's certainly, with the first two processes at least, much more fluid. The last process is much more rigorous because it ties directly into the PDP, and that, because it has consensus policy that comes out of there, far more formalized, I think, is the way we would say.
Thanks, Jay Scott. And you know, I realize as he's talking there that I neglected something at the beginning, very, very important. And everybody says this, I think, because of the great policy team that we have supporting us on staff. And in our case, it was not only the regular policy team, but also the GDD staff who are also in the room here. I see Karen over to my left and Mary and Mariko over here. Just fabulous policy support. So forgive me for not mentioning that at the beginning when I thank the rest of the team. So I appreciate that. Brett.
Thank you, Chuck. Brett Fawcett for the audio. Chuck, I really like where this is going, and I like the recommendations. On the GGP, I was curious, though, as to how far back this can look. I assume that most of the GGP processes will be on recent policy recommendations, but you know, could it look back 15 years to the UDRP? Is there any limitation on how far back you can go to provide guidance?
I would put that on the shoulders of the managing body of the policy group, the council. I think we tried not to be too rigid in terms of specifying things like that, because, and we actually did talk about the fact on several issues that the council, as the policy management body, should have the flexibility to make decisions with regard to a lot of these issues. So I think that's one, and I'll let Jay Scott jump in too, that we didn't specify. We intentionally didn't get that specific because we think it needs to be flexible. If the council sees an issue that warrants attention, it doesn't matter too much whether it's 15 years old or 5 years old or 1 year old if it's something that a process is needed to discuss.
Yeah, I think our whole purpose was not looking so much backwards but as forward. So when an issue comes up and it's going through the ether of the ICANN process and you're either asked a question by the board, which has happened, I think, more in line with the new GTLD program probably than any other program, but when you're asked a specific question by a body. But there's nothing to stop you from looking at issues, and you haven't been asked a question, but the GNSO feels like its input would be valuable in the debate, and it wants to speak with one voice. We tried to give you a process that we thought you could use to coalesce that one voice, so that people understood, again, how they plug into helping develop that. Whereas before, when it was more ad hoc, people who are constantly paying attention to every issue are more plugged in. But those people who sort of heard about it and then wanted to plug in didn't know how to fit in. They didn't know if they were excluded because they weren't as active. And so we're trying to give you a process where people can understand how the GNSO is developing that and how they can participate in that. And so we saw it more of when you see issues going forward. But if you think there is an issue that's existed that's still lingering in the ether that needs a GNSO position that hasn't been specifically requested or isn't involved in a PDP or, as you'll see, isn't an issue that's come up within a PDP, which is our third grouping of issues that we haven't gotten to yet, that you have a process that everyone understands what that process is for coalescing. I don't know, Jonathan, I see you shaking your head. I know as chair it must be difficult sometimes to feel like how do you coalesce people into focusing on to develop a position, and we were just trying to give you something that you could point to that everyone could see that is laid out there that then you could follow, sort of an easier way to manage developing positions.
For the avoidance of doubt, my sense is I'm very receptive to this. I think it's very helpful to give the council a toolkit of options with which to work. I mean, I think one of the challenges we faced with the new GTLD program and perhaps some other issues was what are the processes and options available to us outside of seeming like we were very rigorous in saying, well, we only do this, it's black and white, we only do this or that. And if you want us to do something between, well, we might be able to make it up as we go along, but we're not very comfortable doing it. So I'm very encouraging of that. But it'd be great to see the third option here as well. But that just for the
yeah, and just for those online or listening over the telephone lines, Jonathan was shaking his head in the affirmative, not the negative. do we want to move on to the
one more comment? It's Chuck again. I just want to reemphasize what I said at the beginning on the principles and requirements. I really we don't have time to go through those one by one, but they are critical to this whole effort. So I encourage everybody, not just counselors, but everybody else in the GNSO, to read those and understand them, because they really are the foundation of the report and of moving forward in this, because if those principles and requirements are followed, it will make a huge difference on the effectiveness of these three processes. And I'm going to let Jay Scott pick it up from here. Next slide, please.
So this is the one process that is probably more restrictive than any of the others with regards how it's applied and how it's used by the GNSO. And this is a EPDP, or an expedited PDP. And as you'll see, this is to be used when there would be development of additional policy that would bind the contractual parties. So it's a consensus policy development tool. So the qualify for this particular process, an expedited PDP, you would have to be addressing issues that are really narrow policy issues that were probably identified while you're implementing the policy, a broader policy that's come forth. And I think this is spurred on by the new GTLD program, basically, because as they began to implement the policies, a myriad of issues came up, which in implementation required changes to some understandings within the various parties and created contractual obligations that would be for the contracted parties. And so the idea is you don't want to have to go through an entire PDP, because that's unworkable, because it bogs down the implementation. But because it does require there to be new policy developed that will put contractual obligations on the contracted parties, it needs to be a bit more formalized and tap into the previous work and tied to the previous work that's been done by the PDP. So you see here that it's a narrowly defined, that it's scoped after there's been a policy recommendation that the board has already adopted for implementation. And this is additional policy work that needs to be done based on issues that have come up during implementation. So we have some examples here. If the issue is already scoped in an issues report for a possible PDP that was never initiated just because it fell to the bottom of the work pile, or as part of a previous policy development process that was never completed, or through other products such as the GGP that we've discussed earlier. I see that we have some hands up. I think first is James Bledel.
Hi, thanks, Jay Scott. James here for the transcript. I'm cautiously intrigued by this idea. I know that for some of you that were on the, help me with the acronym, Marika, PPSC PDP, the group that reformed the PDP about 2 or 3 years ago. Mr. Newman was their chair. Avery, I think, was on that group as well. One of the challenges that we discussed with the idea of an expedited PDP was that I think generally one of the things would be that it would take over and that it would then become the new PDP process, because every idea was either a derivative of previous policy or a previous issue report or could be tied to something that was done previously. So again, I think this goes back to something that was raised earlier. Is there a cutoff of something, how old something is? Can I go back and reopen like tasting or something that happened quite a while ago and want to modify that? Are there sufficient safeguards in this to prevent things that perhaps issues that didn't obtain consensus during the first time around from being reopened and re-deliberated? I'm interested because, you know, as someone who throws a lot of their free time into PDPs, I'm interested in anything that can speed it up and make it more efficient. I just want to make sure that it's properly scoped and safeguarded to prevent it from being used as a kind of a trapdoor PDP.
My first comment would be is, along with these processes comes an obligation on the managing body to manage, which means that you all are going to have some criteria that you all use when you push something to one of these processes. We can't define every one of those. It's unobtainable to do. I think what we were more thinking about is that it is a process where you're implementing policy and an issue comes up, but the deciding factor is you all decide that any solution is going to require more policy development, so you're going to put it through this because the underscoring policy has already been decided, right? So you're going to put it through this, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel on 90% of it. You only need to focus on the one implementation that's requiring new policy. That's the first way we see it happening. I think another way is, let's say that there, for tasting, for example, that a policy has been developed, but technology changes. And because the technology has changed, it's created an additional issue, which to find a solution is going to require additional policy. But the baseline policy with regards to the solution has already been resolved. Okay, so I think we state in our opening paragraphs that this is not to be used for that exact purpose, and that is to open up areas where there wasn't complete consensus, but we move forward with a policy. It's not to be used to scrape the scab off old wounds. It's a management tool, so it's going to require that the policy body manage how it's used and exert its management control and when it invokes these processes. I think it's impossible to say, you know, anything that was considered 15 years ago needs to go through a full PDP when it's a very specific solution and you say, we only have to deal with this one issue. Yes, it's because it requires new policy. Let's try the EDP for this one. As opposed to, this is not really anything new. It's basically just rehashing the old issues, and we're not going to do that. And that's something, as a managing body, you have to make those calls for.
Chuck. In response, this is Chuck speaking, James. It's and J. Scott said this. I want to reemphasize it. This is not a process for a second bite at the apple. Okay, if you didn't get what you wanted the first time around, and the report is very clear on that. Now, I'm going to suggest that J. Scott go over 2 and 3, because they're really critical, in a little more detail before we continue the queue, because it really relates to your question. There are specific criteria that have to be met. Not only does it have to be a policy issue, but 2 and 3 have to be met there.
Right, and as I said before, it's after the adoption of a GNSO policy recommendation. So if the policy recommendation, there's not been any adoption of a policy recommendation, this is not the process. So in other words, if consensus was never reached, there's a group that believes that there should have been some sort of policy recommendation, it never happened, this certainly wouldn't be the appropriate way. So it's not a vehicle to keep something on the agenda perpetually or to use some sort of expedited process to loop out of the PDP. So, in other words, if there was a process that did not come to consensus and someone wants to reopen that process, it would have to go through a full PDP. Because the answer to that was no policy. It got an answer. It may be an answer people didn't like, but it got an answer. I think that that's really important to understand. And secondly, that it's been substantially scoped and that there's a lot of information that already exists. In other words, this is a way to build on previous work rather than reinvent the wheel every time something comes up. So if in an implementation of a detail, for example, something comes up and all the underlying work with regards to most of those issues has been handled, but there's one specific issue that requires tweaking because no one saw that issue, it's not answered in the underlying work, then that's something you would use this for. As opposed to, we didn't get the answer we wanted with regards to that, and so we want to open it up and try to put it through this expedited process.
I have a couple of other questions, but I'll wait for you to get through this slide. I put myself at the bottom of the queue, Jonathan, so whenever we resume the queue.
Thanks, James. And just flagging with Jay Scott and Chuck, this is tricky because this is substantial and impactful, and it's a lot of work, but we do have some time constraints, so just to try and manage that balance. Go ahead.
Brett.
Thank you. Can I make a recommendation, and I apologize if it's in the details of the report that I have not seen. If there is, if we do adopt this and there is an EPDP, can we have a requirement that notice goes out to the affected contracted parties via the notification queue, whatever the notification contact is in the contract? And for example, if it's going to be something that is going to require a course correction for registries, it would go out to the contact information in the contract between ICANN and the registry. Similarly, if it's a registrar issue, notice would go out, sort of an alert that there's going to be an issue here that affects you. Pay attention to this because this could potentially happen very quickly, and you wouldn't want something to fly under someone's radar and all of a sudden have them, you know, have to have an implementation obligation.
Marika?
This is Marika. It may be something important to clarify in relation to the EPDP that the only real difference is that there is no issue report. So the idea is that because the issue has already been scoped as part of a previous PDP or GGP or some other effort, there's no need to do, you know, the issue report, which takes 45 days, 40 days for public comment, then I think, you know, 30 days to produce final issue report. So that's why you could cut out potentially like 2 to 3 months. All the other steps are the same. The idea is, of course, that if it's a very narrow issue and you're talking about, you know, changing policy recommendations from 50 days to 30 days, that you may not need a year for a working group to deliberate. But all the other, you know, checks and balances are in place. So the initial, you know, vote at the council, the working group is required to reach out to all the stakeholder groups and constituencies to ask for input on the issue, public comment on the initial report, the final report. So in that sense, it's, I do want to take away the impression that this is something that, you know, someone can quickly vote on it and a week later you have new requirements on contracted parties. That's not at all the idea behind this, because I think the group felt that was very important to, and as well to James's point, the previous discussions where they also tried to figure out, can we do it quicker, to say, well, we don't want to, you know, take away too many of those steps, because then you really take away the multi-stakeholder element of it and the due diligence part of the process. So I just want to clarify that the only real difference is that there's no issue report phase as part of this. There's an issue scoping document, so it is scoped what the PDP is expected to look at, and that is what the council votes on. But all the other parts are still in place. It's just the expectation, if it's really an issue that has already been dealt with before, or it's a very narrow question that the group is expected to look at, it will likely go much faster than a typical PDP that looks at a very big, broad issue.
Yeah, I appreciate there's still processes here and there's going to be comment periods, but I still think that anything that's going to be expedited that's going to put a burden on a contracted party to implement, you need to send a notice to them saying, this is happening. We have initiated this. It is expedited. You know, then they can pay attention to it or not. But I'm relatively plugged into ICANN, and a lot of things still fly under my radar. I would not want something to happen here that, you know, suddenly people have to implement that they don't have notice of.
Okay, so I'm conscious of where we are in this process. I think what we've got an opportunity to discuss this the motions element as part of this later in the day. We've got a time constraint, so I think we should hold that cue. We should let you guys get through the content here as rapidly as you feel comfortable doing so that we can keep this moving, and we'll come back to the cue. So if people can add to the cue, by all means, but I think we need to try and move this forward a little.
Okay, I just want to reemphasize, as Marika pointed out, number four, that the issue is already scoped, so you don't need an issues report. That's what we're doing, is we're cutting out about 2.5 to 3 months just because you don't have to issue a new issues report. And also, it could also be used as part of a previous PDP that wasn't completed, but again, we would expect that issues report had already been done. So you're just cutting out front-end work that has already been completed. It's not being not done or circumvented. It's already been completed. There's no need to build that time in. And my answer to James would be, there is nothing preventing you as a management body from deciding that when you want to use this process that you will send out a notification. There's nothing, I'm happy for someone to amend the motion to add that as a requirement, but there's nothing preventing you from doing that. You're the management body. And so you can do whatever you feel is necessary to make sure there's parity and awareness and acknowledgement between the interested parties, because that's what you do as the management body. That's your decision of how you implement it. You want to go to the next slide? I don't think we have many more slides. So here's a few. There's a lot of information in this report. You can't just read the report. If you have specific questions about something, I would go to the annexes that are appended to the report that are referenced in the particular section regarding the particular process, because you may find that annex contains the information that you're looking for, so I would explore that first. We need to make sure, just for people going forward and newcomers, that we get the operating procedures amended accordingly, so that when someone comes in and they know what the role of the GNSO is with regards to this, it's laid out for them clearly so they understand what their role is. So a new chair or vice chair that comes in, or a new GNSO representative for one of the constituencies or a non-com appointee, can look to a process, can self-educate themselves on what is to be expected. So that needs to be put in the operating procedure. So if you do that, we strongly encourage that you take the time to interwove that into that document so it's part of the process and everyone is clearly understands. Next slide. So just to let you know that one of the things we did as part of this group is we worked with staff and the GDD group to understand what happens on their side of the equation when policy is implemented. It goes from the development to implementation, and we tried to understand exactly what they were doing to make sure that the processes we developed jibed with what is going on internally within their processes in order to have a workflow that I think has as few stumbling blocks in it as the handoff occurs as possible. And so you see here, this is all laid out in the report in Annex J. You'll see the timeline that has been worked up. And I think that it's all we're trying to do here is formalize things in the hope that some formalization will add to efficiency.
Tell them the word missing is framework that they can't read.
Yeah. Chuck said you can't read, but the word is that this is a framework, and it's in the small text there. Next slide. So implementation review is mandatory. So you see here that we have the PD needs to be manual. The manual needs to be modified for creation of implementation review teams. We believe that it should be a formalized step, that is always done, that there's always an implementation review team that assists the implementers in dealing with issues that may come up during implementation. But we felt like if there are certain circumstances, there should be flexibility, because as a management committee, as a management group, you may feel like this is so well scoped, there is only one answer. It's something that's so quickly and easily done, you don't need to go through that step. So we wanted to leave you some flexibility that in exceptional circumstances that you can articulate and explain to the community transparently that you wouldn't need to have an implementation review team. But the default is to have one. But you have flexibility not to do that. You'll see, again, we have the principles that should be, they're spelled out in Annex L, that should be applied to the IRTs. The principles form the basis of the integrity of all of these processes, and you need to have a clear commitment and understanding of those principles in order for this to, I think, function as it does. And as a management body, we look to you all to be the ones that endorse and embrace those principles because you're managing this system. Chuck, do you have anything to ask? Okay, next slide. So here are all this is in all the information. We have links to everything you can see. I think one of the things that I want to really thank staff for that I think made our work a lot easier, and I think hopefully when people look at it as they review these materials, is the public comment review tool, which is a tool that I think shows how we ingested the public comments that we received and how we dealt with those. And I think that that has been, at least in my experience, one of the biggest frustrations of this whole process is that outsiders or people who are reading the report never understood what effect, if any, public comment had. And explaining that and showing how it was ingested and dealt with, I think, is something. And I want to thank Marika and Mary for leading us through this tool because it made it very valuable. And I think it made the work go faster. Yeah. And with that, I think the next slide is, you know, you feel free to review any of these materials. Chuck and I are around. Marika and Mary, who are our staff liaisons, are around. We hope that we've provided you a motion and three processes and some work that you all can endorse and adopt that will lead us to doing better work for the entire community in a more open and transparent way. Before I shove off, I want to ask James. I see your hand is up.
Glenel. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. James speaking. And I had some additional questions. I think you covered some of them in the interim, so I'll just say that when we have our discussion of the motion on Wednesday to the fellow counselors here, Chuck and Scott and this group, Jay Scott, are giving us a very sharp knife here with the EPDP, in my opinion. And I think that we just need to make sure that we examine it very carefully and look for situations. I know I've got a couple of situations in mind where we've gone to implement just transfer policies, and during the course of implementation, we've run into some huge roadblocks that were not considered, just completely missed by the PDP and multiple comment periods. So it happens. Okay, I get that. I see that it's also, it's a sharp knife, and you want to make sure you're grabbing it by the right end. So something that we should discuss as part of this motion, and something that we should maybe even discuss as putting some procedural controls into place, like higher voting thresholds or whatever, to make sure that this is used appropriately. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, James. And in addition to talking to either one of us or Marika or Mary this week, feel free to talk to your representatives in the working group. We had very good representation from all of the stakeholder groups, constituencies, and the ALAC. So those people are also very good resources. Use them. And then, Jonathan, if it's okay with you, it's take me about 1 minute. I want to close with three principles. They're just three of all of the principles and requirements that are in the document. But one of them is implementation should be regarded as an integral and continuing part of the process rather than an administrative follow-on. And then another one I want to emphasize, while implementation processes as such need not always function in a purely bottom-up matter, in all cases, the relevant policy development body must have the opportunity to be involved during implementation. That's directly related to the council. And then last of all, policy and implementation are not two separate phases entirely, but require continuous dialogue and communication between those that develop the policy and those that are charged with operationally implementing it.
Okay, thanks very much, Chuck. And Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I may make a last point, and I'm hoping that that may reassure James, because actually that is something the working group already thought of, and to initiate an EPDP, you need a supermajority vote of the GNSO Council. So I think that safeguard is built in to ensure that, indeed, only you can only initiate it if, indeed, almost everyone agrees that an EPDP is the appropriate way to go. So, and I think in several cases, specific voting thresholds have been built in to ensure that. For example, in a GGP, it's only in the case of a supermajority vote that it's passed on to the board. Again, to kind of that it's only passed on to the board if it represents the consensus of the GNSO. So I think if you look at that, I think the working group did pay quite some attention to ensuring that it couldn't be easily, you know, initiated and off you go, and well, most people didn't even thought it was a good idea. So I'm hoping that that may be covered in the report and addressed through those mechanisms.
And to follow up with what Marika's saying, the Policy and Implementation Working Group really tried to apply what we're recommending in there and what we discussed. And so because of limited time today, like, for example, we didn't talk about the voting thresholds for these. All that kind of detail is in the report, including recommendations for how the GNSO procedures need to be modified, including recommendations for possible language changes in the bylaws. All of that is in the full report. So even though we didn't cover it today, we tried to live by what we're recommending and give as much guidance for implementation of our recommendations as possible.
Okay, so it's clear that we had a series of painful experiences that led us to believe that the work of this working group was a requirement. My sense is that this has been led by and contributed to by people who really know and understand both the background and the consequences of what's going on. I accept we need to be reassured as councillors in reviewing this that it has that been done in that comprehensive way, but my sense right now is that we are being provided with both a very powerful toolkit, but also a responsibility to use that toolkit, which is, I guess, to some extent, your point, James. We have to act responsibly, although these subsequent remarks have also indicated that there are some natural constraints built into it. So that was very, very helpful, and I think it's a potentially great step forward. We do have an opportunity to discuss it further as part of the motions, and I'll remind everyone that there is a Tuesday session, and this is really important because we haven't had to use this in earnest for a while. There's a Tuesday session at the end of the constituency days when you've had the opportunity to socialize this work or any other of the motions amongst your groups, to come back together as a council and or with representatives from the groups to discuss any other prior concerns prior to going into the Wednesday meeting. So I'll remind you of that again, but for the moment, let's thank very much the co-chairs, the vice-chairs, and the working group for this comprehensive work, and we'll look forward to seeing more of this as we go through discussing the motions and indeed this being a formal item on the Council agenda on Wednesday. Thank you very much. So we move straight on into a related topic then, and if you could just let me know at the back as soon as you're ready for the next session. Okay, so we're good to go. Our next session deals with, in a sense, related work, which is that's been going on the PDP improvements. Marika, I think you're going to present to us on this, and just a reminder again to just say your name prior to making your contributions over the microphone. Thank you.
So this is Marika. Actually, before handing it over to Lars, I just wanted to briefly mention that I think, as you know, we identified 10 recommendations in relation to PDP improvements, ways to enhance and strengthen the PDP, and looking for ways to streamline and facilitate not only work in the PDP, but also participation and engagement of participants. For the past meetings, we actually would run through each of those recommendations and report to you, where things were at and what we had done. But as actually not much has changed on most of those since the last meeting, we thought it was maybe more important to focus on an area where significant developments have been undertaken during the last period in relation to what we call the GNSO Learn program, which is really targeted at newcomers and people coming into the GNSO, how to help them and assist them in becoming familiar with GNSO and processes that that we're working with. And actually, Lars is going to tell you more about that as he'd been spearheading this program together with Mary.
Thank you, Marika. This is Lars for the record. Yeah, it's just a very quick update, making up some time as well. So the background, we've been working on this GNSO Learn issue that is part of the... I can hear myself slightly delayed in the background. That is part of the I Can Learn website that has been launched recently. What we're trying to do is there to provide some overviews of the GNSO, the structures, the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, and basically provide some easy-to-access information for newcomers, but also for those people who like to refresh their knowledge of the GNSO and the various processes and constituencies. As I just said, we are cooperating with the Public Responsibility and Development Department that is leading this new website, the I Can Learn portal, and we've produced a couple of videos for this. We've done several short courses in the form of PowerPoint presentations on the GNSO Council, on how to join working groups, how working groups function, an introduction on overview of the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, and a couple of more others as well. So what we're going to do up until Dublin... tomorrow there will be a camera crew in here. We want like have a little section on the GNSO working and process. And since the weekend session is normally more interactive than the Wednesday council session, we're going to do this tomorrow. They're going to be here for 2 or 3 hours filming a little bit, and then we're going to cut that together. And Mary and I will also try to gently persuade you to step outside for a couple of minutes, as many of you. Well, we'll see how gently, we'll see what the response rate is. I mean, gentle in the beginning. Just for a couple of, like half a minute, just an introduction to get an overview, and not just GNSO councillors, but everybody who's in the room, to give newcomers and people not familiar with the GNSO a few faces of who is who. We're going to finalize another couple of courses on the PDP procedures, on how to chair a working group and what is required for that. And then we're going to put that into a better version that we'll then share with you, gather some feedback, and hopefully have the final version up for ICANN. And just a quick, these are screenshots. This is what it looked like. There's just you can already, I think if you Google ICANN Learn, you might be able to access the better site. There's a variety of different courses. These are some of them. This is the introduction. You see there's a video of Jonathan that's from a couple of meetings ago that we added there. So it's and on the left you see slightly, because I clicked all through them, they're a bit faded, the various courses there on the left. And I've completed 95%, I hasten to add, so I'm up to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Lars. Any questions or comments on this? Marilia?
Thank you very much. This is Marilia speaking. I just wanted to understand where the suggestions specifically come from, because I recognize some of them, like suggestions that we discussed in our capacity meeting of the GNSO before or after the meeting in LA. We had a meeting of the GNSO, and some of the things here that you talk about, I think we discussed there. So maybe, I just wanted to know where the suggestions come from, and if there are things that we discussed there that maybe would be useful to bring into the discussion. And just one last point, how can we help you? Because I see that there's a lot of things that staff is conducting and doing, and I think that what you're doing with the Learn Portal and other activities here are very related to something that we are discussing here, which is outreach and getting more people in and people to work in the working group. So if there is anything else other than giving you interviews that we can do, please let us know.
I'm going to go with thank you. I will certainly make sure to reach out. So, the idea is that we put something out there, as I said, and once we have what we think is a basis for newcomers and people who like to take part in the GNSO, we share that with you and see whether you think that covers it or what, you know, where the gaps are, because inevitably there will be some. And I think the topics we picked up come partially from that session and other things that we with staff thought might be helpful. But obviously this is not, you know, if you think there's something is missing and that, you know, you think would be very helpful, please get in touch with us. We gladly pick that up. The more there's on there and the more that the helpful things we can share with the community, I think, the better. And I will make sure to reach out in case I need help for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck?
Thanks, Chuck Gomes. And I just, a one-minute comment. What's being done there, and I know Lars knows this very well, fits very nicely into the recommendations of Westlake Governance in the GNSO review report, draft report that's out for public comment right now.
Thanks for making that connection. Heather.
Thank you, Jonathan. And thank you, Lars. I just wanted to make a quick comment and say I've been involved in other activities that are consolidating into this ICANN Learn platform. We've sent a few GNSO representatives to what's previously called the ICANN Academy. And I just wanted to say I think it's a fantastic thing that this is being consolidated within the single portal, within this this ICANN Learn portal, and not scattered across the various constituencies. I think it's really lost some impact or has lost opportunities by being scattered across across the organization, and to see this come together I think is very helpful. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Lars, are we done then? Okay. Thanks very much, and thanks for both the work and the efficient way in which that was presented to assist us in keeping up with the agenda. So we'll close that session now.
Yeah, hello, everybody. This is Thomas Rickert for the record. I just wanted to let you know that I'm now there and that CCWG duties have kept me away from joining earlier. So I apologize for that.
Thanks, Thomas. Welcome. All right. Are we good to go with the next session? Okay, so next topic, new GTLD subsequent procedures discussion group. This is in effect a precursor group to a potential issue report being chaired by Brett Fawcett and been working over the last while. So let me hand over to Brett to bring you up to date with where this group's got to and where we go next.
Thank you, Jonathan. This has been a year-long effort. We started last summer. I'd like to express my thanks to my co-chairs, Jeff Newman and Liz Williams. Jeff's actually in the room. Jeff, if you want to grab a seat in front of a microphone, you're welcome, or you can grab one of these mics back here. And Jeff can field questions as ably as I can. So we'll make sure he's around the table. I'd also like to give particular thanks to Steve Chan, who has done much of the heavy lifting here, including the difficult task of keeping us on track. Thanks, Steve. Let's go to the next slide. So I'm going to briefly talk through the background, give you a current status of what we're delivering to the council. There is a motion pending before this body at its public meeting this week. I'll talk a little bit about what would be next steps if we decide to pass that motion, and then open it up for any questions. Next slide. So we passed the motion last summer to create the discussion group because there was a general consensus in the community and including inside the council that we needed to look at possible course corrections if we did a second round of new GTLDs. I'm reminded that in our discussion group discussions, we decided not to use the word second round, but future rounds, subsequent rounds, that we might need to change our course. If we don't do anything, subsequent rounds are baked into the initial process, so subsequent rounds will look a lot like what they looked like the last time, which is a perfectly fine outcome, possibly. But I think if we want to change things, it's going to have to happen through a policy development process. The number of issues that could possibly warrant consideration in the policy development process were so large that creating an issue report initially was, we thought, not manageable. So we tasked the discussion group with essentially scoping the issue report that we would request, and that's the work that we've done over the last year. We've had broad participation from, I think, all of the constituencies involved in the council, including the at-large. Next slide. We decided to create an issue report that would, or a list of issues that could possibly warrant policy development. And we were very permissive in what we accepted. We asked everyone to phrase their issues in a neutral manner, not to prejudge any outcomes. We made no policy here. We simply tried to identify areas for subsequent policy development. And because of that, the group worked very collegially. If you had an issue that you wanted in the report, it came in. No one argued against it. The only time that we had discussion of a particular issue was if it was phrased argumentatively, where it might have prejudged the outcome. So we changed those as neutrally as we could and saved the hard work of disagreeing with each other for down the road when we create a policy development group. But for now, we have created, I think, a comprehensive list of issues that people have in mind right now. We also baked into the process that giving the policy development group that's tasked after the issue report, if we go that route, I think we will, but if we go that route, the ability to also add issues as they come up. So this is a starting scoping document. It's not intended to be the final set of issues that are ever considered. Also baked into the list of issues, we ask the policy development group when it's tasked to be aware of other things that are going on in the community. That was something we heard loud and clear at the Los Angeles meeting last fall, that we should not be a silo, that we should consider all of the issues that are going on in the various other ICANN reviews. So that is also into our document. So what we have given the council is an overview document and then a long list of the issues that we want staff to consider in preparing the issue report. Next slide. So here's where we are. We're at the left-hand guitar pick, the June 2015 point. We are going to ask for an issue report to be prepared. If the motion passes this week, then staff will take our work and prepare an issue report. I actually think it will happen on the schedule that we have here because what's been wonderful for us is that the people who will be preparing the initial issue report have also been the primary authors of the work that we've got to date. So staff is very well up to speed on the issues here. So we'll look at an August 2015 issue report. It'll go out for public comment. And then we could create a PDP if we choose as early as October 2015. Now, what happens after that is anyone's guess. I think that this is going to be a policy development process that will have a great deal of interest in the GNSO community. I think it will have a great deal of interest from the ALAC. I think that there will be broad participation in that PDP, and I don't know how fast or slow that will go. but all we can do is set it on its way and see what they want to do with it. Next slide. So we've got the motions and all of the activity on the wiki space. You can see the URLs here to get to them. I'll open it up for any additional comments from Jeff before I move on.
Yeah, I think, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Yeah, thanks, Brett. And the group has really worked pretty hard. This is sort of an experiment that there's not too many other groups that I know of that form before an issues report, just to kind of help staff scope it out, because as Brett said, it was kind of a, it seemed an unmanageable task last year to ask ICANN staff to help draft an issue report at the time. This is going to be, as Brett said, a very lengthy PDP ultimately when it started, when it finally is starting. So it's not something I've heard some chatter of, why are we rushing into it? Shouldn't we, you know, finish reviews prior to starting this? And I think the other thing that this issue, that this discussion group took in mind, which I know that the issue report will also address, is the fact that we are aware of all these other reviews being done at the same time or in conjunction. And this discussion group and hopefully the issue report will reflect deference to those reviews that are going on. You know, there's a required review under the affirmation of commitments. There's economic studies being done. Registries are being required to give certain data under their contract. I'm sure there's a ton of other reviews that I'm not even thinking about. The GAC is doing its own reviews. So when we start, the reviews are going to happen. They're already on its course. This issue report and ultimately PDP will be deferential to those, but so it recognizes that that work is going on. I think it's important that the council start this work with the GNSO community to make sure that we are part of that process. So if you do have any questions, or if any groups are thinking of deferring the motion, or groups are thinking of not supporting it, we'd love the questions now, or as Jonathan said a little bit earlier, there's a Tuesday session of the council to talk about any concerns of the motions. We'd love to hear it now, and hopefully address any concerns that are out there.
Thanks, Jeff. I'd also add that in addition to the Tuesday session, we have, as a discussion group, we have a Wednesday open session from 11 to 12 at which we'll provide a brief background for members of the community on what we've done and open it up for questions there also.
Thanks, both. I see we've got Olivier. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Olivier Capanablanc speaking on behalf of the ALAC, and we very much welcome the work of this DG and thank the DG for its work and look forward to take an active part in the work that will follow up on this. It's important for us, and I guess it's important for everyone in this room, so very much looking forward to work with you. Thank you.
Great. Marilia?
Thank you. This is Marilia Maciel speaking. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the group for this excellent mapping. One can see that it took a lot of work and breath, so really congratulations to you. And I also find it very educative to look at it because you kind of understand what are the different policy issues that relate to the new GTLD. So even for educational purposes, maybe we could reframe it or reshape it in order to put it on a website, because I think that it could be a good input for newcomers as well. And the matrix of issues, on the other hand, it's not very digestible, and I did not find that it completely corresponds to the mind map. So I'm looking forward to the issue report that is going to be produced by staff. So just one final question that I have. What is the time frame that you expect to have some work done on this? And I know that it's just the beginning and we have lots of work to do, but some of the issues here, they are on the agenda for such a long time, such as support for applications from developing countries. It's like since 2006 we are discussing this, and we are kind of losing the train again with this present round. So is there any time frame or some of the issues that you find are more mature or ripe for discussions? Could we extract them, start a smaller process? How do you see this going forward? Thank you.
That's a hard question. When people have asked me I think personally that this will be finished, I think if we really do open this up in October 2015 for a working group, I would expect it completes October 2017. I think it's probably a two-year process. Now, I think whomever chairs the next policy development group, they may decide that some issues can be resolved very quickly. I think that one possible path is to take what I would call the low-hanging fruit and just pick it and decide the easy questions early, and then maybe take the harder questions on a different track. But that's going to be up to the chairs of the next group and the leadership there on how they want to move it forward. But I think it's probably a 2-year period. I would like to think it would move faster than that, but I don't know that it will.
Yeah, this is Jeff Newman as well. I agree with Brett. There are some fundamental questions in kind of the first grouping of questions in that issue report, which include, first, should there be additional TLDs, right? That's not something that everyone in the community is necessarily convinced on, and that was an issue that was put into the discussion group. The second one, which you kind of made reference to, is if there should be others, should there be different classifications of TLDs that should go before others? Should, for example, there be a round just for developing countries? Should there be a round just for brands? These are all questions, fundamental questions that need to be addressed by that first grouping of issues. Because if it comes out that the community says, no, there shouldn't be additional top-level domains, well, then the whole PDP in theory could end there. We're having the work done in parallel just because we want to save time. We don't think it should be done necessarily, at least our recommendation as the discussion group is that work should be done in parallel, because if it's done sequentially, then that 2-year time frame that Brett was talking about could easily go to 4, 5, 6 years. Just realistically. So I would just point back to the original motion when this last round started. The PDP, I believe, was started in 2005. The PDP ended in 2007, and the ICANN board approved it in 2008. So can we do it faster? I don't know. There's a lot of issues that are on the table, but if you use the past as a guide, that was 2 to 3 years.
And then the second issue is, of course, whether how much, as you said, whether all of that happens in parallel or is in some way can be segmented out. Because I can bet that, and you already hear that, there are people in the queue wanting either support for developing country applicants or specific categories of TLDs that are going to be wanted to get in there. Stefan, did you have your hand up?
I'd like Susan to go first.
Okay. I'm sorry, Susan, I didn't see that. Go ahead.
Susan Kawaguchi, for the record. I did review the list, but that was after our last meeting. But and you've definitely created a comprehensive list. But I am very concerned that this would move forward before the affirmation of commitments review team was seated and had completed their work. I understand that may delay the timeline, but that is something that has been set up to do a thorough review of the new GTLDs, and I'm not sure that we're giving enough time to what is currently going on in the new GTL world. You're starting to see a lot of new GTLDs not renewed after a year. The ones given away are definitely not being purchased. We're seeing predatory pricing. There's a lot of issues that we're experiencing that I'm not sure that in the next year, if we were to work, or say October, if we started work on the PDP, that we would have enough information to inform that work. So it would be a little bit not the most successful PDP, in my opinion, starting too early if we don't have all that background and especially leaving out the AOC review.
Thanks, Susan. So I know Jeff is going to reply, and just for the record, I've got Stephanie and then Stefan in the queue.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman again. I would actually take a different approach. I actually think the AOC review is not going to be as thorough as the GNSO review. I actually think the AOC review, and so this might sound a little controversial, but the AOC review was a document drafted, was a review required by the Department of Commerce that basically allows for, if it follows past AOCs, maybe one or two representatives from the GNSO at most. So I would argue that I think the best reviews are often done as internal self-reviews as opposed to external reviews of people that didn't live day-to-day with the situations. So I kind of come at it from the other angle, thinking that we can do a much better review where we have more involvement from the GNSO community than an outside AOC review, which maybe has one or two representatives from people that didn't live with the issues day-to-day. But that said, I mean, whether you agree or don't agree with that, the point is that this issue report will make reference to the AOC review, will incorporate the findings of the AOC review, and will be digested by the GNSO, ultimately in the PDP. So I'm not sure why it necessarily needs to wait for the final outcome of the AOC review in order to just start this process. We're not saying new TLDs should go forward before any of those reviews are done. We're not saying that those reviews shouldn't be included. What we are saying is that we, as the GNSO community, should be an active part in all types of reviews. We're not going to get to be as active in the AOC review as we'd like to be. So let's do our own review. Let's compare the reviews, put them together, and come out with a much better finished product than waiting for an AOC review to tell us what the outsiders think of the process and then be forced to be reactive. The GAC is already doing its own reviews. ICANN staff is already doing its own reviews according to the contracts. The AOC will do its own review. The GNSO, I would argue, is the most impacted group of all of ICANN by these new TLDs, whether it's as users, whether it's as registries, registrars, commercial entities, non-commercial entities. So let's jump in. Let's make sure that we can control the outcome as opposed to having others control the outcome for us. That's a completely personal view.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Let's hear from some others then. I've got Stephanie, Stefan, and Brian.
Thank you, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think this is a very important discussion, and it's a pity that we're right before lunch because it's really fundamental. I raised my flag over the issue that this whole problem of the dicing of issues up into little pieces, it's almost impossible to follow them all and factor them all in simultaneously. So even though it takes more time, I think it is important. You have to have the feed-in from the different working groups that are operating on similar grounds. That's going to make things slower, and I have sympathy for that problem. Is there a mechanism, and this seems to me fundamental to ICANN, we've got to come up with a better horizontal mechanism for tracking all the issues that are going on at the same time, so that we can get that feed in. Staff do an excellent job, but I'm not sure that as working groups we necessarily feed in the sort of live decisions as they're coming down the pipe. And I think it's a key factor in getting people to sign up for working groups, and that is a factor in burnout. On the accountability issue, as it's been made very clear that there are accountability issues for ICANN as we work on the IANA transition, it is true that the insiders know the material at a deeper level, but if we're going to move to a higher accountability maturity level, then we got to have external eyes on these things. So, it has to be both, which means more work on the part of the worker bees that are already inside doing all the work. So, I think we need a longer discussion on how the heck we do this. I feel it very tellingly on the who is pile of work that's coming our way, because I don't really believe we can manage that. But I have sympathy for the top-level domain issue, too. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stefan?
Thanks, Jonathan. Stefan Van Gelder for the business constituency. I agree with the points that you've made in terms of this being a crucial discussion. I think it's actually one that's important for the GNSO in terms of the way it works and the way it looks to the community and to the outside world. I think there's a possibility here that, for the GNSO to be at the maximum relevance it can be on this topic. I mean, there's no other organization within the ICANN structure that should be discussing this in the way we are discussing it is really important. So I really agree with you that it needs time and we should be taking the time. On the responsibility and the optics part, I think it's really important, just to go back to Jeff's point, that we do look at what we've committed as a community, we as a community have committed to do, and the AOC review is a commitment. It's an important step, and it's not one that should be sidetracked. So, Jeff, earlier on you asked about the groups, which group might support or not support. I don't think we're at that point yet. I think the important thing now is to acknowledge that the AOC review is a crucial step. I would hate to see us publicly use words like the insiders know about this and let's not worry about the outsiders. I think that sends the complete wrong message. I think maybe we should talk to the outside world and we might understand that there's a great deal of anxiety about the current round, let alone a future round. Even from industry people, there is anxiety. How do we deal with this deluge of TLDs, etc.? So these are issues that there are mechanisms in place, and the AOC review is a major one. And these are issues that we should be taking into account as we draft this proposal for an issues report. Thank you.
So just a couple of thoughts here. I know Jeff wants to respond. I know Brian's in the queue, and we've got some time constraints. I'm thinking about a couple of options here, what we can do with the schedule and whether we spend some more time on this. One option, of course, is to talk about this with the board. We have an hour and a half with the board, and so I just encourage you to look at the schedule that we've got over the weekend and think about where else we might bring this back up in another area. So I'm going to try and bring the conversation to a fairly tight end here, but I am mindful that there seems to be quite a lot to discuss. So as the co-chairs of the group, we're going to let Jeff and Brett respond and then take a point from Brian and then cut the conversation here, but I haven't not heard that we need perhaps more time on this.
Yeah, let me just address the question about the AOCs. The real question for us as the council is, do we wait to start or do we wait to finish our policy development process? And we have said in our discussion group report that we wait to finish. So we will take account of the AOC. That's in the draft report. And we will not finish the PDP until we can take account of the AOC input. So we're going to work in parallel is the proposal before the council now. The alternative, of course, is to wait to start until we have the AOC input, which would mean a very, could significantly increase the time that we're talking about here.
Jonathan, can I just say one thing? It's clear that the point I was trying to make is it shouldn't start before the AOC review. The PDP I'm talking about shouldn't start before the AOC review is done, because that's what was in the deal.
I don't think that was the deal. And I think if we don't start until we have the AOC completed, we probably won't have a PDP. Okay. We'll probably just leave it to staff to implement whatever input comes in, and we, the GNSO, will lose our voice.
So it's clear that this is a critical axis of discussion. I'm going to let Jeff respond, as I said before, hear from Brian, and then we'll have to call it a day for now.
Thanks. I support everything Brett said. The last thing I would say just to Stefan, you made a comment about relevancy, and I actually want to throw that back to you and say, do you want to remain relevant in this issue? Do you want to take control of this issue as a GNSO community, or do you want others to dictate to us how it will be done? Because as Brett said, the current policy in effect from the GNSO that was approved by the board says that there will be subsequent rounds. It doesn't say you have to wait for the AOC review. It doesn't say you have to wait for a GNSO review. It says there will be rounds. When we asked ICANN staff at the last meeting, do you intend to start a new round with or without the GNSO or the PDP or the AOC? They said yes. The current policy, in effect, until that is changed by the GNSO, by consensus and approved by the board, is that there will be additional rounds. What I'm saying to the GNSO Council and the GNSO community, I'm not part of the council anymore, is do you want to remain relevant? Do you want to control the reviews, or do you want everything controlled by outsiders? That's a good question. I'm fine either way, but I want to throw that out to you all.
Okay. Let's make sure we bring Brian in now.
Brian Winterfeld for the IPC. I do think this is a very important discussion, and I hope we do have more time to talk about it. I think I definitely hear your point, Jeff, and I think it is very important, obviously, for the GNSO Council, I think, to lead the policy development process and to have input on the next round. At the same time, I think we would like to discuss more when we have more time about how we are going to sort of frame the issues and deal with them prior to these other reviews being completed, knowing that we would want to take into account what's going to happen there and make sure that we're not duplicating efforts or leaving out important issues. And so I think that's something that we would like to explore and think about more.
Good. Okay. So it's clear that there's some critical axes of discussion here, that we have the output of the discussion group. It's a motion, so we need to come back to this when we discuss the motions at minimum. But it sounds like there's more time to be spent on this. Given where we are in the agenda now, we'll draw a line under this session and then move on to the next item before lunch. So if we could stop the recording there, and if I could have you think about, or everyone, where else you see we might be able to pick this up, I'm open to suggestions on the scheduling.
Okay.
Wait for the session. Just check that they're ready.
Could you restart the recording, please? Okay, we're now at the final session before lunch, which is the ICANN meeting strategy report. I will try to keep it short. There's not too much to report. As you recall, next year ICANN will embark on a new meeting schedule, which I would summarize as a long meeting, a normal meeting, and a short meeting. The short meeting being the most troublesome for the GNSO, in effect, to continue its work in its current shape and form because, as you know, our meetings take up a lot of time. We have started a discussion group from the GNSO Council. The discussion group has met since the last meeting a couple of times, and we have found that as a first step, it does not make much sense to have the discussion of how to schedule our meetings within the short and the long meeting within in a vacuum. So essentially, we have sent out a questionnaire a request for information to all the ACs, SOs, stakeholder groups, and constituencies to give us a brief input on their plans for the new meeting structure so that we as the GNSO Council may orient upon those inputs and see how they line up with our thinking of how to arrange our meetings for these new meeting structures. While there is no deadline, essentially, for the feedback, we would appreciate a certain expediency. We have received some feedback already, but some groups have not provided any feedback so far. So I would like to urge all groups that have received the inquiry, and even those that might have not received the inquiry, to just provide feedback on what their plans for the new meeting structures are, what their time requirements are, and what their thinking is of what slots to put their time meetings in, so that we also, as the GNSO Council, may orient ourselves upon this thinking and bring forward our proposal for the meeting structure of how to meet in these meetings. We have an informal meeting planned for this Wednesday, the 24th of June, at, I apologize for this time, 7:45 to 8:45 in Retiro A, which is right next door to this room. I would appreciate everyone who has an opinion on how to schedule the timing of the GNSO Council and the GNSO meetings in general during the short and the other meetings to come to this meeting and to voice their opinions so we can have an informal discussion and use that in discussion to inform upon our plans for the future, for the next year going forward. Now, just a brief opening the floor to questions or comments. Marika is first. Please go ahead.
This is Marika. Maybe just to add that the drafting team did prepare a skeleton version of how meetings A, B, and C could look, both for council as well as stakeholder groups and constituencies, as we did have participation from the different stakeholders groups and constituencies in that effort as well. So indeed, the idea is now as well to compare notes with other SOs and ACs to see how they are planning to run their meetings, because, of course, there needs to be a level of coordination to ensure that there's no obvious conflict. For example, if we're carving out Tuesday afternoon for joint sessions, but the ALAC or the CCNSO are actually doing that on Wednesday morning, we obviously have a conflict. So the idea is indeed to get together on Wednesday morning, and even though it may be difficult to get all the groups there, at least start that conversation and then likely follow up after the Buenos Aires meeting, as I know that several of the other groups have either just started or are about to start their conversations. I think none of them have actually progressed to the level, I think, where the GNSO is at with a skeleton schedule. But I think the hope is that there would be some kind of final agreement around that in the next couple of months as this new meeting strategy would enter into force for the upcoming year. I think one thing to keep in mind is that as this has been developed by the community, it was adopted by the board, I think we're all committed now to try to, at least try out the new schedule. And I think especially for meeting B, it will require a kind of culture change of how we deal with meetings, I think both on the council level but also at a stakeholder group and constituency level, as people will need to think through how can we, what do we want to focus on in those 4 days. And I think the meeting team has been quite clear as well that there are not going to be any meetings before or after as part of that meeting. So again, we shouldn't think, but we can still do our weekend session then on the Sunday and Monday, or the Saturday and Sunday before, and then just do our 4 days. No, it's really intended to be in those 4 days. So I think it will require everyone to think outside of the box, make the best of it, and I'm sure as well that there will be some kind of evaluation, or if people really believe that it's not working and it really doesn't meet the requirements of the GNSO or other groups, that is a topic that can be raised with the board to see if that can be reviewed or discussed, what changes may need to be made.
Thank you, Marika. Heather is next in the queue.
Thank you, Volker. Heather Forrest for the record. And picking up on Marika's comment, I'd like to take the opportunity to raise some concerns. While I recognize that there is work that's been done to put together a draft in the GNSO, and we're farther ahead, I suppose, than other groups, where we are now, at least in the draft, seems to be largely business as usual. It's how do we take the current meeting schedule that we have now and put it into this new program instead of thinking out of the box. We've used the phrase a number of times this morning about how do we really seize this as an opportunity. One thing that's come up within the IPC, Greg has taken on the initiative of putting together a schedule for IPC members for the course of the week. And in the process of creating that schedule, and I'll turn to Greg if he wants to make any further comments, is the insane amount of overlap that we have, particularly as the work that we're doing as an ICANN community is increasingly cross-community. I appreciate the fact that we need to have this dialogue with the other SOs and ACs. I think that's absolutely imperative. But frankly, I don't see how we can continue, given the volume of cross-community working group activity that's going on. It is now impossible to attend in person all of the meetings that you're actually intended to be in. And this is something we have to deal with, absolutely have to deal with. If we don't, we have completely ineffective meetings. I think we have a problem that we face. I'm not sure, Greg, if you want to make any other comments having drafted that schedule. I'm not putting you on the spot necessarily.
Hi, Greg Shatton for the record. I do just want to point out briefly, I think I don't have the exact count, but I think there was something like even just trying to figure out which things are of interest to IPC members, so that's not the total meeting. There were several triple and quadruple overlaps. There were probably in the nature of 30 overlaps, so we're trying to figure out how to send different members of our group to cover different things. If we're trying to do the GNSO Council's business, including some version of these 2 days, plus all of the working groups and increasing cross-community working groups, we're going to end up with the same problem. You know, I've just got, there's a column noting overlaps above and below, overlaps with this and that. It's just, you know, you could only thread your way through this by being, you know, if you wanted to focus only on who is, maybe you would have no overlaps. But just trying to do the business of our business this way, I think really requires, you know, either a rethink perhaps a reject. I realize that that's kind of, according to the meetings team, that's that ship has sailed. But I don't think there's been a true proof of concept. I don't think anybody has tried to say what would happen if this meeting had to take place in 4 days. You take away the public, kind of the plenary sessions at the beginning and end, and how do you fit the rest of it in? There is no proof of concept that exists of that yet. So I'd be very curious to see how it is, but trying to deal with these over, if we can find a way to have fewer overlaps so that we can really deal with policy and do it in 4 days, that's great, but it'll require a lot of creativity or cloning.
Thank you, Greg, and I appreciate the work that the IPC has done in forwarding the thinking on this. I personally agree that the short meeting will probably be a very different animal from the current ICANN meetings that we have at this time. It will require a lot of pruning and cutting and rethinking of what is absolutely essential for the GNSO to do at that meeting. And we might come out with an opinion that it is actually impossible for the GNSO Council to hold a meeting at these events. Simply because of the time constraints that the four-day meeting brings with it and the other meetings that happen in this time frame. This is a possible result that we should carry forward to the meetings team and maybe recommend that they change their thinking as well. That may be a possible result. I'm not trying to go forward and postulate that result yet, but I would encourage everyone to come to that meeting on Wednesday, even though it's early, and voice their opinion and start the discussion and let's see where we get there, how we get there.
Greg Chatton again, just to briefly respond, Volker. That would be an unfortunate result, although I recognize it's the likely or possibility of it, and indeed that's why I'd like to see a true proof of concept as opposed to just these abstract squares that say, you know, we're all getting together. Given that this meeting has been called the Policy Forum, the four-day, the meetings committee folk call this the Policy Forum four-day. To have the manager of all GTLD policy be unable to meet at the Policy Forum meeting would seem to be a hyper-fail.
I agree. That's why I said that the outcome may just result in certain cuttings that may be undesirable to us now, but be a consequence of the time constraints that we have. I'm cutting the queue at this point because the session following lunch will not be able to push too far into the future. So we have to kind of start in time. And considering that there's lunch, I would like to ask all the speakers that are still in the queue to be brief. Michele?
Thanks, Volker. Michele Nalen for the record. On this entire thing around the new meeting strategy, essentially, we have to give it a go. I mean, it's that ship has sailed. If you don't like it, tough. But we can't go back and just undo a decision that was made that was open for multiple public comments, etc., etc., etc. So we have to give it a go. Now, if it's a total and utter unmitigated disaster and we all end up wanting to kill each other or kill ourselves, well, fine. Then you'd say, we tried it, it didn't work. Let's rethink it. But just deciding in advance that due to having to make changes to schedules, cutting this and cutting that, that it is a disaster even before we've even tried it, I think is a bit ridiculous. I mean, it's a bit like, I don't know, the introduction of the motor car and various other things. Nobody will want it. Well, they do. Around the entire kind of planning and input, I believe that we as the Registrar Stakeholder Group haven't really done anything about that. But possibly that's also due to the fact that our officer terms are annual, so we wouldn't, until we've actually gone through our election cycle, we don't really know who the hell is going to be drawing up a schedule in, well, June of next year or whatever, because we haven't finished the election cycle yet. And as for the being in multiple places at any time as a contracted party, pretty much every single policy affects us in some shape or form. So much as I'd love to give the IPC sympathy, they're not going to get much from me. Thanks.
Thank you, Michele. Donna?
Thanks, Volker. Donna Austin. So I guess I wanted to just take this back, being a member of the Meeting Strategy Working Group, just to take this back to one of the reasons that we have a middle meeting, which is 4 days, is to accommodate the ability for the ICANN meetings to rotate through some of the regional locations that don't have facilities like Buenos Aires or Singapore or some of the European locations to host a meeting of this size. And that is one of the primary reasons why we tried to find a way to accommodate requests from certainly this region and other regions that just don't have the facilities available to put in on an ICANN meeting of this size. But it was recognised that outreach is still an important element for ICANN. So I take Michaela's point. Let's suck it up and see what we can do, see if we can make it work, because there are, you know, others out there that still think that outreach is important for ICANN. We did discuss hubs, and that was rejected. Hubs would certainly get around this issue. We could still, you know, have meetings of this size in three places and just rotate through that. But if we still think that outreach is important, then that's one of the reasons that the Meeting Strategy Working Group came up with the concept that let's have a middle meeting which can accommodate the smaller regions, and we'll restrain it to a policy meeting. So we'll try to take out a lot of the peripheral, what we considered to be the peripheral meetings. So, you know, let's go in with an open mind and see what we can do about this. Thanks, Volker.
Thank you, Donna. And I still have Michele, but I think it's an old hand, so James.
Hi, thanks. James speaking for the record, and I'll just be fairly brief. I think Heather touched on a very important point, probably on her way to making a different point, but about the proliferation of cross-community efforts. I think that that's something that we ought to take a look at just generally, because it is starting to crowd out, I think to Greg's point, it is starting to crowd out everything else on the calendars as we talk about shortening these meetings. This is the GNSO. Everybody wants a piece of what we're doing. Everybody wants to be involved. Everybody wants a seat at the table, and that's fine. And I think we can accommodate that through liaisons and through opening up the working groups. But I think continuing to take what are, in my opinion, strictly GNSO issues and broaden them into cross-community issues is resulting in a lot of overlap, a lot of duplication of efforts, and a very crowded meeting calendar. So I just wanted to highlight what Heather said and reinforce it a little bit, because I think, I don't know if that was exactly your point, but I thought it was an important element of your point that needed to be raised. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Last two are Stephanie and then David.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I'd just like to be brief and request any risk assessment that might have been done by the meeting strategy group prior to coming up with this, because I can see some of the risks. If GNSO members have to take 3 or 4 hop trips to get to a 4-day meeting, they're investing more time traveling than they are in being there, so they probably won't come. That's just one example. Have we looked at the risks and the mitigations? I think there's ways to get around some of these problems, and I amazingly agree with Michele that we've got to give it a go and see what hits the wall. Yeah, I know. Write that down, will you?
I just want to say, for the record, this should be recorded.
Right. And on to lunch then. Thanks. But if there is any risk assessment, it'd be good to see it.
Thank you, Stephanie. Last word, David.
Right. Look, the one thing that's really strikes me, that we had the great work from the Policy and Implementation Working Group. I just kind of want to somewhat reject what Michele said about, you know, this is a process that's been done and now we can't, you know, we've gone through the meeting strategy process and we can't change it. I think what we're seeing now is we had a policy process and we are now trying to implement it and finding that it's working out a lot worse than we thought. It's making, you know, in very early stages of just trying to implement it by making a schedule, we're going, wow, this is terrible. We're going to have to, you know, this has a lot of unintended effects. We should go back and go, this isn't working as well. If one of the stated aims of the shorter meeting was to get us to focus better on SO and AC work and policy work, and that process is going to make it harder for us to do SO and AC work and policy work, then clearly this is something that is running into problems in the implementation phase, and we need to go back and take a look at it. I thoroughly agree with the idea of a meeting with less of the peripheral stuff that can be take part in a smaller venue. That's not the same as squishing it into a shorter time frame, especially considering, along with that process, we've had a lot of things that have the tendency of pushing out that time frame, such as cross-community working groups, working group face-to-face meetings, and so on. So let's not treat it as this was a process that was done, now we cannot change it. Let's go, we are running into some implementation problems with this policy. Let's have a broad, open mind about what we need to fix to get back to the original goals of the policy. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And just to remind everyone, the remit of the group is not if we do it, but how to do it. So agreeing with Michaela, the ship has sailed. We have no voice in changing that, but we have a voice in how we use that time. And if we find out that it doesn't make sense for us to meet or it is not effective for us, then that's something we have to take forward as a lesson learned. If we find out it works, perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's call that session to a close, which puts us just about at lunchtime. I've got one quick remark to make there. We've got our next session that begins at 1 o'clock is an operational update from Xavier and Carol on ICANN staff. So we need to be in a position to receive them in 10 minutes. So I would appreciate you, please. We have ordered lunch for 60 or more people, so there should be enough to feed everyone in the room. But if you could please just defer for 5 or 10 minutes to let the councillors get in the queue, get their lunch, get reseated, and then there should be enough to go around for everyone. So everyone's welcome to stay and obviously participate. Thank you very much. We'll be picking up in 10 or 15 minutes. Thank you.